So let's see if I can do a better job of explaining free energy. I think I'm pretty much finished writing my text on Wikiversity called Free Energy Does Not Exist, because I have found various flaws in our thinking. You know, the flaw concerning current is a mathematical fiction, a form of shorthand notation that represents something else that's more complicated. So Ohm's law is consequently erroneous the way it's presented to us. You know, current times voltage equals watts. It's actually more complicated than that. And another fiction, well, there's several fictions, but that's one. But I solved two things at once. It's always been pricking my mind, where does free energy come from? You know, the simulator doesn't tell you where it's coming from. And after 6 years of simulation work and blogging and asking people questions and whatnot and writing about it, I've come to the conclusion that all free energy circuits steal energy from their environment, but you cannot account for it. That's why it's free. See, physicists and electrical engineers, they're always trying to account for everything. So let me give you an example of an over-unity circuit that's not considered a free energy circuit. There are two types of solar power that I'm trying to distinguish in this example. The one that I'm not going to use in this example is the one that we're all familiar with, the electric solar panels. You go up on the roof, you invest a lot of money in them, you charge a bank of batteries, and then when the sun goes down, you have electricity during the night coming from the batteries that you charge during the daytime with the help of your solar panels, and you can also recharge your electric car overnight coming off your batteries bank that are in your garage, let's say, that you had charged up during the daytime. Well, that's one type of solar power. Another type is thermal, not electric, in which I had a friend, a vegan friend, who, sorry for the beeps, who had a swimming pool, and her husband had put up black tubing on the roof of her home, of their home, before he passed away. He just curled him up in a round pancake coil of tubing, black tubing, and he ran the pump for their swimming pool. He ran the water, through the filter either before or afterwards, and then he ran it up into the tubing. He had two of them, huge, massive pancake coil tubings on their roof. And they would go through there and then come back down to the pool. And so they had all this warm water coming into the pool, and the pool was acting as their tank, their storage. Instead of batteries storing electricity, they had their swimming pool storing the heat from the roof of their home. And that, of course, cut down heat hitting their crawl space above their home because it was going into the pool. And if they needed it, and I don't think they did make use of it, they were simply trying to raise the temperature of the pool by getting free heat because they didn't want to spend any money on heating the pool. But they were getting elderly, and they wanted a warm swimming pool water. So this was one way to get relatively free energy from the sun, because the amount of energy it took to pump the water around was far less than the amount of energy they would have had to expend had they used conventional means to heat the swimming pool, for instance, gas or electric. And so that's considered over unity, even though, but you can account for it, because you can measure the thermal radiation hitting the roof and say, okay, this is how much is coming into the system, this is how much you're actually paying to move the warm water around, but you don't have to pay for the sunlight. That's free. And it was sunny California, so most of the days are, you know, sunshine and warm. In the summertime, at any case, in spring and fall, maybe. Maybe sometimes in the winter. Well, with a free energy circuit, you cannot account for where the free energy is coming from. You are still getting it from your environment, and so then it's called theft, because you don't know where you're getting it. For all you know, you may be getting it from your neighbor or the transmission line. You don't know. It could be coming from a multitude of sources, and you're getting it for free, just like my friend was getting free solar power to heat her swimming pool. And she could have heated her home if she ran the water through grills inside the home and then blown air across the grills, but I don't think they did that. Anyway, they could account for where the heat's coming from, the sun, and measure it, but you can't do that in a free energy circuit. And that's the difference between free energy and mere over-unity. You cannot, it's a non-accountability situation. So, where, so this solves one problem of where does the free energy come from, but there's another problem that's associated with it, and that is there's no such thing as isolated systems of energy. It's impossible. You cannot isolate an energetic system. And the notion that you can is a hypothesis posed by scientists when they want to do the energy balance sheet of where does the energy come from, you know, to measure it, how much is coming from the outside, from the inside, what, you know, whatever. There, they assume the that a circuit or a system of energy, I should say, in general, can be isolated from its environment in order to tabulate where the movement of energies are coming from. Well, you can't, though. The only reason why they get away with that is because by assuming that, in order to support or justify that circular argument, what they do is, okay, well, how much energy does this so-called isolated circuit need in order to run? You know, and how much do we have to add in addition to that to cover our losses? And that's how much we're going to be held responsible for feeding the circuit in order, or the energy system, in order to run it. You know, whether it's gasoline or electricity, how much does it take to get it to run? And so we feed it that much, and so there's no chance in God's heaven that that circuit's going to steal energy from its environment because it's in no position to do so. Because it's being fed copious amounts of energy already. We're paying through the nose to do it, but it's not going to want to ask for anything more. Whereas a free energy circuit that I devise always wants to ask for more because I give it practically nothing. I don't give it nothing. I give it practically nothing. So the premise that physicists hold for perpetual motion machines is that they are isolated from their environment, yet they run anyway. Yet such a thing doesn't exist. I certainly never played around with such a thing. It's impossible. I simply make more from less, and then I wonder where the more came from. But I certainly don't make something from nothing, and there is no free lunch per se, just some kind of a magnification going on. And the magnification, I thought, was reuse, a recycling of energy. And that may be true, but everybody poo-poos it. So rather than try to push the point, I've switched to theft, which is actually another possibility to explain where free energy is coming from, is that you steal it. But you cannot account for what you've stolen. And so you're left wondering, well, where did, you're still left wondering, where did it come from? But I'm pretty sure it comes from the environment. It's just we cannot account for it because it utilizes methods that you can't account for. You know, namely imaginary numbers and space as a dielectric medium that stores all the energy of the cosmos. So it's not something you can figure out, yet you can postulate it's there. Now, that means that if nothing is isolated, that the silly notion of conservation of energy goes out the window, and thermodynamics goes out the window because it's not rigorous. It's only rigorous if you think it is, but in actuality, it is not, because thermodynamic entropy and conservation of energy is predicated on a presumption of a hypothesis that an energetic system can be considered isolated from its environment in order to do the energy tally sheet of where does energy, how is it moved around. And so not only have I had to concede that there's no free energy coming out of the circuit in all likelihood, it either recycles or gets it, steals it from its environment, but that this notion of conservation of energy and thermodynamic entropy is also a fiction. So both sides of the argument have to concede defeat. And I'm willing to. I wonder if anybody else is willing to. So this pretty much finishes my need to do research to write the book. I just have to do, you know, finish up the opening statements, because I forgot about recycling as another possibility besides theft. It doesn't sound as harsh as theft, but it should be included to make a more complete statement. Opening statement in when I open up on the book. It's like 62 PDF pages. It's really long. I think it's enough, you know. I don't like long books. I don't like reading them. I don't like proofreading them, certainly, and I am proofreading it at the moment. I'm taking a little vacation today. Anyway, so I'm pretty much finished with it, and this is why. Because I pretty much figured out, in general, the overall view of where does free energy come from and where are the lies of physics coming from. You know, so, you know, why are we arguing? We shouldn't have to be. We should be able to integrate both points of view, and instead, we don't. We continue to argue. So I'm all about integration and overcoming the need to argue and the need to see my opponent from their point of view. And it took some time. It took 6 years. Because nobody wants to concede defeat, right? Nobody wants to jump over to the other side and say, okay, I agree with you. Some people do, but I don't. The diehards don't. And the only way around that obstinacy is through understanding. And that means a very rigorous and very broad understanding. And that's why it's taken me 6 years of self-training and self-study to do it.